page 327, that right column. As you should expect, based on what we saw with morning prayer last week, begins with that old rubric. In the evening, when you go to bed, make the sign of the Holy Cross, again recalling your baptism, and say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Then it would have us kneel or stand, repeat the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, and then Luther, in his humility, says, if you choose, you may also say this little prayer. But
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins,
for I have done wrong,
and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
So, again, very similar to what we saw last week with the morning prayer, only now in the evening you give thanks for the protection of the day, graciously kept me this day, and you pray for the most important thing, which is always the forgiveness of sins. I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong. And then, sort of the secondary petition there, graciously keep me this night, as you have graciously kept me this day, right? That same gracious word is entailed there. And then, sort of four, that idea of the reason why maybe you can expect this is because you have commended yourself, body and soul there, as we talked about last time, restating yourself and all things, everything other than body and soul. And that all things would be the issue going on with, you know, your nephew and your niece, or the issue going on in Iran, in Israel, or whatever else might be sort of on your heart or on your mind as you're trying to fall asleep. You commend all of that to God. And then the petition, let your holy angel, and we talked about that last time, is perhaps Christ himself be with you, that the evil foe may have no power over me. The little last line there, then go to sleep at once and in good cheer. Right? Don't say your prayers and then pick up your phone and read the news. Say your prayers and then pick up your phone and start texting or Facebooking or whatever else you might do on your phone. But go to sleep at once. Let this word of God reflected in prayer be the last thing on your hearts and minds. And not just go to sleep, but go to sleep in good cheer, knowing that you have commended everything to God, that he has a good and gracious plan for you, whatever that plan might be. And so you don't need to let those things that you've now commended into his hands weigh you down as you're trying to go to sleep or keep you from sleeping. That you can go to sleep at once and in good cheer, as the Catechism says there. Other comments, questions about evening prayer?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, right, as it says. Yes, yes, it shall be so. All right, good. Well, the preparation for setting four is on page 203. I invite you to turn there and please stand if you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered together to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
To me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come.
You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
You have made me see many troubles and calamities, will revive me again.
From the depths of the earth you bring me up again.
You will increase my greatness
and comfort me again.
I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God.
I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel.
My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you.
My soul also, which you have redeemed.
And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long.
For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come.
You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Yeah. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all sins and evil desires from us, and pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the second Sunday after Pentecost. The appointed Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 65th chapter. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I, here am I," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. The people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together," says the Lord, "because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds." Thus, says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it," so I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.
The word of the faith that we proclaim.
For with the heart one believes and is justified.
And with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
The epistle reading from the third and fourth chapters of Galatians. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 825.
brings us freedom, life and life and healing. All men and women who by guilt are driven now are forgiven. Come celebrate your banner, Zion furling your song.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Summer officially started days ago, but we have been in hurricane season for weeks, with no named storms so far in the Atlantic, much less the Gulf, but a record 5 named storms this early in the season in the eastern North Pacific. Most recently, Hurricane Eric came ashore Thursday at Category 3 strength, but in a sparsely populated area of Mexico between Acapulco and Puerto Escondido, leaving some 277,000 people at least temporarily without power and one person dead from drowning. Just after Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves on the Lake of Gennesaret, usually called the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, in today's gospel reading, Jesus essentially cast out of at least one man afflicted for a long time, many, perhaps thousands, of demons or unclean spirits who knew both who Jesus was and the judgment that ultimately they deserved. Notably, the demons begged Jesus not to command them to depart into the abyss, and instead to let them enter a herd of perhaps thousands of pigs feeding nearby on a hillside. And when Jesus gave the demons permission and they entered the pigs, the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. The mention of the abyss and the lake are perhaps especially interesting to those of us participating in our midweek Bible study of Revelation. For in Revelation, demons are initially let out of the abyss, temporarily held in the abyss, and ultimately punished in the abyss, which apparently is sometimes also called the lake of fire that burns with sulfur or brimstone. Today's gospel reading is said to be St. Luke's divinely inspired gospel account's lengthiest and most dramatic report of a miraculous exorcism. St. Matthew's and St. Mark's gospel accounts also report this same event, but St. Luke's account of this event is the only one of the three accounts that is appointed as a gospel reading by our 3-year series of readings. And interestingly enough, the appointment of any account of this particular event came to our congregations only with the revision of the 3-year series of readings
in Lutheran Service Book some 2 decades ago. I do not know for sure why, but accounts of this event perhaps were not appointed previously because the gospel reading leaves us with some arguably unanswerable questions, such as, after the herd of pigs drowned, what happened to the demons? Regardless, a main point of today's gospel reading is clear. Jesus is victorious over demonic powers for people like us. Commentators debate whether the people who owned the pigs and tended to the herd were Jews, like those eating pig's flesh in today's Old Testament reading, who were described as a rebellious people, or whether they were Gentiles, for whom the Old Testament dietary laws did not apply. Whether Jew or Gentile, the people were unable to bind the demon-possessed man. No one had the strength to subdue him. And instead of binding the man, Jesus set him free from the demons. The demons cried out who Jesus was and knew the judgment that ultimately awaited them. They're more perceptive than we are. Even if we are not demon-possessed, as was the man in today's gospel reading, we by nature are still under satanic influence. We may figure out that we are sinful by nature, and so that we are sinners who deserve temporal death and eternal damnation, but we need the Holy Spirit to show us our Savior from our sinful nature and our actual sin. Although we deserve it, the abyss or the lake of fire that burns with sulfur was prepared for the devil and his evil angels, not for us, for whom God from the foundation of the world prepared a kingdom. So God, out of his great love, mercy, and grace, calls and thereby enables us to turn in sorrow from our sin and to trust him to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. Jesus is victorious over demonic powers for people like us. The gospel accounts of Saints Matthew, Mark, and Luke all elsewhere also report Jesus' teaching of a strong man who is bound by a stronger man who then takes his belongings. Despite his seemingly impotent death on the cross, Jesus is that stronger man who essentially binds the strong man, the devil, and all of his evil forces, and then takes us from them. The demons knew that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God, even as the angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary that Jesus would be called the Son of the Most High. The man in today's gospel reading recognized God in Jesus, as Jesus told him to declare how much God had done for him, how he had had mercy on him, and the man went away proclaiming how much Jesus had done for him. Truly, as St. Paul wrote in today's epistle reading, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law. With the Small Catechism, we rightly explain the second article of the Apostles' Creed regarding redemption, in part by saying that Jesus purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. The visions of Revelation may not happen as literal events, but the visions figuratively communicate what are certain truths. Jesus' earthly ministry, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, and his ascension into heaven, all essentially bound the devil and all of his evil forces and delivered us from them. The demons' fear of their judgment and their knowledge of who Jesus was did not save them. But when we fear our judgment and trust in God to forgive us for Jesus' sake, then God does save us. God saves us by forgiving our sins through his word and sacraments. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God, by his word, both created the sky in order to separate the waters above from the waters below, and then gathered the waters below in order to let dry land appear. So in today's gospel reading, we have the Lake of Gennesaret, and the abyss, perhaps the waters below the earth that connect the seas and are in which the demonic spirits are confined. And then, not surprisingly, in holy baptism, we see God use water and his word to rescue us from death and the devil. Unclean spirits depart and make room for the Holy Spirit. And we, who otherwise are naked and ashamed, as we heard in the epistle reading, as we are baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. We are clothed in his righteousness. We who are baptized by daily contrition and repentance drown our sinful natures so that our redeemed nature daily emerges and arises to live before God. We who are baptized privately confess to our pastors the sins that particularly trouble us for the sake of holy absolution. And so absolved, we are admitted to the Holy Supper, where bread is the body of Christ given for us and wine is the blood of Christ shed for us. And so give us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Food and drink here in God's house is far better both than the bread and wine that Melchizedek, the priest of God Most High, offered to Abraham, and then whatever the man of the gospel reading would have received when he returned home. As Jesus told that man to do, and he did, we also declare throughout our various communities how much God has done for us in Christ. Our confession of Jesus has particular weight among those who know us, but we are not responsible for convincing them to believe, only for speaking to them about what God has done for us in Christ. We might say to them that Jesus is victorious over demonic powers for people like us. We can rejoice already now because the outcome is certain, even if we do not yet fully experience the victory. People like the man in today's gospel reading do suffer for extended periods of time. Satan and his minions apparently will be permitted more influence before they are finally fully confined. And we do not understand all that God in his wisdom deems to be necessary and so says and does. But in every season of life, and even amid the literal and figurative storms of life, God has revealed to us that Jesus is victorious over demonic powers for people like us. As we sang in the intro, he who makes us see many troubles and calamities will revive us again. If necessary, from the depths of the earth, he will bring us up. Thanks be to God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, we thank and praise you that Jesus is victorious over demonic powers for people like us, and that your Holy Spirit leads us to repent of our sin and believe the good news. Ever help us faithfully to receive your forgiveness through your word and sacraments, and to keep your commandments according to our callings in life, until you deliver us from this life where Jesus comes in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, you preserve your church through the ages. Continue to give messengers who point the faithful to your word. Strengthen the persecuted. Unite in right teaching and practice the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Bless Lutheran Heritage Foundation's giving books of the Lutheran faith to people around the world in their own languages. And for this congregation, return absent members, prosper our Sunday school, and grant us grace in giving that we may return to you offerings more than sufficient for your work in this place. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, crying out to you, our Father. You know the condition of our souls, that we frequently wander into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, we pray that in Christ we may finally win the victory. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you would have us declare how much you have done for us in Christ. Use us to reach those who have strayed from the faith and those who have never believed, that their souls and lips also may shout for joy when they sing praises to you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you created all and sustain your creation. Grant seasonable weather, that the earth may yield its fruit in due season, and that we might give thanks to you. Also rescue, relieve, and restore to those affected by drought, wildfires and their smoke, hurricanes and other extreme weather, earthquakes and volcanoes. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, your Son is the Prince of Peace. According to your will, grant peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially that our constitution and laws might be followed and enforced. Protect non-combatants in war zones. Guide our leaders on every level of government. Make all people good citizens, and protect, uphold, and grant discernment to those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, your Son and his disciples sailed safely to the country of the Gerasenes. Guide and safeguard Brady, Joy, Charles, and all who travel, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you make us see many troubles and calamities, but revive us again. Comfort those who mourn. Grant victims of violent crime to feel safe again. Give hope and patience to those imprisoned and their families. By your word and sacraments, be present with those who are shut in and otherwise homebound, where they are. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions David, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Bob, Jim, BJ, John, Anne, and all those in need of healing. And to that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, your Son returned the man from whom the demons had gone out to his home. As possible, restore all families, physically and relationally. In due time, bring expectant mothers and their children safely to delivery. Grant all your people, especially those without spouses or children, to be content in their circumstances. And help us better defend your gift of human life from society's threats of legalized abortion and assisted suicide. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank and praise you for your gifts of physical and spiritual life to Katie. Continue to grant her physical life according to your will. Help her to remember and use her baptism, and preserve her in her baptismal grace all the days of her life. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord, heaven and earth with full acclaim. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit. You justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen.
blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen.
Blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
A couple of announcements just to highlight for you in the bulletin, reminder that Mary Martha is meeting today, so please stay for lunch, and then whatever else they're going to do, and you might connect with George about what, maybe if there's something in particular that needs to be cleaned. Reminder that this Wednesday is the commemoration of the presentation of the Oxford Confession, so we have divine service at 7 o'clock, and as a result of that, midweek Bible study will not meet this week, as Jeremy and I like to say, will be here, just in the other room, in this room instead of that room. So, reminder also that next Sunday is our fifth Sunday meal slash church picnic slash game day. Debbie, sign up sheet?
I did not put a sign up sheet, but the Mary Martha will be providing hamburgers, hot dogs, and buns. So bring your side salad, bring you a
dessert. Chips,
dip.
Cheese, onions.
I got the onions.
Onions are covered, tomatoes are covered, cheese is not.
Relish.
Yeah, pickles.
Ketchup.
Yeah.
Mustard. You know, no matter what Martha Stewart says, you can put ketchup on a hot dog.
So, that's true.
Yeah.
Ketchup.
Yeah. Okay, if you haven't been following that story, Martha Stewart said Chicago-style hot dogs do not have ketchup, right? And they don't. Chicago-style hot dogs do. But any other hot dog can have ketchup.
Like the one she had in prison.
Like the one she had in prison. She may not have gotten hot dogs in prison.
Just one.
Yeah. That's what happens if you read the news on your news feed. And enjoy last week on the way out after that Air India crash, horrible crash. She made the comment last Sunday, something about she was traveling, probably on Boeing, you know, 787s or whatever. Well, in the meantime, because I read stories about this stuff, every single time a plane turns around now, it comes up on my news feed. And so this morning, you may be interested to know that a flight was going to Rome, and in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, it had to divert and land in Iceland. Just like you'd be interested to know that, because Google thought that I would be interested.
But, the information of the day.
Yeah, for somebody who already doesn't want to fly, I don't need more information on sad things that happen in the Kara, and Brady.
Hello.
What's in the narthex?
A cornucopia of garden bitches.
A cornucopia of garden bitches.
There are cucumbers, there are squash of multiple types, there are peppers, there are tomatoes. Garlic.
There's a bag of some garlic. So grab the bag, please.
Okay. My sister took some homes and did what Dale suggested about chopping it up and putting it in an olive oil and freezing it. And then she was also canning pickles yesterday. And I said, do you even know how to can pickles? Like, this is not the sister who read books instead of being in the kitchen.
No, it just depends what you want to do. Just fucking their recipe is different.
Yeah. And
you can also buy the packaged apples.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Our Seals cookbook has her mother's recipe for canning pickles in it.
Her dill pickles are unbelievable. I know she doesn't give away, but I've been lucky enough to get them. Well, actually, she gave them to Shannon, but Shannon never got them. They are good dill pickles. So if she ever offers you some and you turn them down, let me know, but I'll take them.
Maybe Shannon should take them.
Well, if she does, I'll give them.
Any other announcements?
Yeah, also wants to pray for the amazing looking app.
Yes. Remo voted earlier in the week when it looked like a jungle.
Yeah. I think the jungle Steve treated it up.
Yeah.
It was a jungle.
So thank you to both of those guys. Anything else you were going to say, Remo? Okay. I look forward to greeting you all.